I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord, particularly as this is the last Lord's Day of the year. In fact, the last day of the year also. Then as we look back into the year 2017, I'm sure we look back, I think for most of us, we look back with mixed feelings. There were times, as I prayed in my prayer earlier on, when we did things that we ought not to have done, or we didn't do those things which we ought to have done, and therefore we failed our Lord and we sinned against Him. But the Lord was very, very gracious to us in those times when we failed to do that which was right, or we did that which was wrong. The Lord was very merciful to us. Then as we look back, we also realize that the Lord had blessed us in marvelous ways, in ways that we could not have imagined. The Lord granted us promotion. The Lord answered our prayers, and in the most marvelous way. And I'm sure if I were to ask some of you to come up here to share, you have so many things to talk about concerning the blessings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we will have the opportunity to do that this evening when we come together for the watch night service. So we have things to give thanks to the Lord for. And yes, and like the psalmist will say, there are so many things that we should be giving thanks for. In fact, the things will be practically numberless, so many. Now, then as we look into the year 2018, we will have to ask ourselves this question. I do not know whether you ask or not, but we must ask, what lies ahead in the year 2018 for us? Yes, what is going to happen in the year 2018? I trust that as we look forward to the year 2018, we will make this resolution that we will definitely do better than what we did in the year 2017 in the way of serving the one true living God. Now then, in looking forward into the year 2018, we must not miss something that is vitally important, and that is the possible return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is there to say that He will not return in 2018? The Lord Jesus Christ has made it very clear. He says that in the hour that you think the Son of Man will not return, He will return. So, my dear friends, we must be very prepared for His soon return. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Are we ready for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Our Lord, in the last few hours of His ministry on this earth, said this to His disciples. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord makes it very clear. He will come again. Now that was spoken some 2,000 years ago. And each generation after the Lord had spoken those words had been looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the saints in each of those generations. And each generation after each generation, the saints in all of them were looking forward to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as they were concerned, He would soon be returning. But up to today, 2,000 years later, He has not returned. So we ask, what's happening? Has the Lord forgotten about His promises? Yes, will He ever return? The Word of God gives us this answer. Yes, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Apostle Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the reason. His desire that is that all should come to repentance. Those whom He has called, yes, He wants all of them to repent from their sins and be saved. That's the reason why He is holding back concerning His return. But friends, we must be very prepared, because in the hour that we think the Lord is not going to return, He's going to return. Now, years ago, I was a school teacher. And when I started working, I was a school teacher. And for some time, I was a trainee teacher. And as a trainee teacher, of course, you hope to qualify as soon as possible to become a qualified or a licensed teacher. And so we had, of course, to sit our exams in theory, and we also had to pass our practical exams. And so we were subjected to inspections by some educators. And these educators were our lecturers from our college, and they would come to watch us teach. And actually, it was very, very scary, obvious, to have these inspectors who were supposed to be experts in education to come and watch you teach. And so we had to prepare very, very hard and very, very diligently so that we will be well prepared, because he would come unannounced. Unexpectedly, you will see him in a classroom, sitting there waiting for you. And then, yes, so we had to be well prepared. Now, can you imagine, in one instance, I prepared my lesson very, very well, went in, taught the lesson, and then at the end of the lesson, the supervisor came up to me and said, "Good, everything is very, very good," and all the boxes were ticked, very, very good. So after he left, of course, I heave a sigh of relief, and then I said, I don't think he will come again. He will possibly come in another 3 months or so, 2 or 3 months. But lo and behold, he appeared 1 week later. How prepared do you think I would have been? No, my dear friends, I would not have been prepared. And what kind of grading would I have gotten from him? I'm sure it would have been a very, very poor one, because I was not prepared. My dear friends, let us all be very, very prepared for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He comes unexpectedly, and he will not announce that he's coming. He will come suddenly. Yes, let us not be caught short. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, let me read this verse for you. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." When he comes, every eye shall see him. Now, this is referred to as the visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because every eye shall see him. But friends, there is another event preceding this visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We refer to it as the rapture. The Lord Jesus Christ would appear in the clouds, and many people believe that this event will take place 7 years before the visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take that position, that he will come 7 years before the visible return, and he would appear in the clouds. And not every eye will see him. Only the saints will be able to see him. And at that time, those who are asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, they had died in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be raised up from the grave. And then they will be raised up to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And then in regards to all those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are alive at that time, what will happen is they will be caught up, raptured, caught up to be with the Lord in the air. But they will not precede those people who had died and are buried in the ground and then resurrected from the ground to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. They will go up first, and then all those believers who are alive at that time will follow after. And so we read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, the passage that we read earlier on. I think it's good for us to read this passage for our encouragement. So I encourage you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. All right? So that you understand that what I just said are not my words, but actually they are the words from the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Verse 13, Paul says, he was writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Sleep in Jesus means those who died in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will bring them with him. "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord." Whose word? By the word of the Lord. that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, will not go before them which are asleep. Those which are asleep who die in the Lord Jesus Christ will go first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are buried in the ground will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this event is surely going to take place. The question is, are we prepared for this event, this rapture? Friends, are we prepared? Now if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not prepared for this event because you do not have a part in this event at all. Yes, this writing here is for believers. If you are an unbeliever, you are not part of this event. Yes, and you will not be prepared to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are buried, are dead and are buried in the grave, you remain in the grave at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in a cloud. But you will be resurrected at another time, at which time you will be resurrected, and then you will have to appear before the great white throne of God, before which you will be judged, and you will be judged as a sinner, and you will be judged guilty, and then you will be condemned to perish in the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now, what about those who are alive at that time who are unbelievers? My dear friends, they will be left behind. The saints will all be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, but the unbelievers will be left behind. And they will be left behind to go through the 7 years of tribulation that is going to take place on planet Earth. And God, during that time, is going to pour down his wrath upon all the unrepentant on this earth. Yes, and during that time, people would wish that they could die, but they will not be able to die. They will have to bear the sufferings, the torments sent from heaven. And then, and if they remain unrepentant, and many will of course remain unrepentant, yes, at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, they will then be cast into the lake of fire, where they will again be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now, friends, are you prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't have to be grouped as one of the unbelievers. Today, if you are an unbeliever, why don't you become a believer today? Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Receive him into your heart. Repent from your sins. Believe that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. And if he is your Savior, you will be prepared to meet him when he comes again. Now, we believers will never come before the judgment seat of will not come before the great white throne of God. Because we are believers, we will come before the Lord Jesus Christ before another judgment. And this judgment is referred to as the judgment of the seat of Christ. Yes, the judgment seat of Christ. And we will not be judged as sinners. Instead, we will be judged as servants. And then before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to give an account of what we did for the Lord Jesus Christ while we were on this earth. The talents that he has given to us, the gifts that he has given to us, the time that he has given to us, the money that he has given to us, the energy that he has given to us, the ability that he has given to us. What have we done with all these things while we are on planet Earth? Now that is the account that we have to give to the one true living God. Now, if we use all this that he has given to us well, then we are going to hear the Lord say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That is what we are going to hear from him. Now, so how should we prepare for the soon return of the Lord so that we will be able to hear these wonderful words from him? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My dear friends, thankfully the Lord has not left us clueless as to what we should be doing to prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord. Number one, be worshipful. The Lord says, be worshipful. Now, how do we know that? If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, you will see that The first thing is this: we must be worshipful. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. All right, I'll wait for you as you refer, but please don't take too long. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. All right, let me read the verses to you. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Which day? Of course, the day of the coming of the Lord, the day approaching. We must not neglect the assembling of ourselves. For what? Assemble for what? My dear friends, the assembling of ourselves, of course, to worship the one true living God. Yes, that is what we must be doing. We must not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Vitally important, the Lord wants us to come to his house to worship him. Every Lord's Day. So the question is, how much holy zeal do we have in gathering to worship him? How much holy zeal? Do we have to drag ourselves to come to church every Lord's Day, or we come very, very gladly and say, I was glad when I went into the house of the Lord to worship him? Years ago, a missionary couple was sent out from Calvary Pandan, and they were sent to the Middle East, and they went to Jordan, yes, the land of Jordan, and they went to Amman, I think it was, and there this couple ministered to the factory workers who came from China to work in Amman, in the factories. Yes, they were garment workers. And there were many of them who were converted. And where do you think they met? Yes, they met, they congregated, they always tried to meet as often as possible. And they would meet in makeshift places, in the stairwell or somewhere they can find a place to meet. And they would meet. And they would be very, very willing to forego their meals just to meet, to gather together, to assemble together. For what? To study God's word, to pray, and to worship the Lord. That was the kind of zeal that they had in the worship of the one true living God. How do we compare with such people, my dear friends? And then there are Christians today living in totalitarian country and in countries that are Muslim dominated. And it is dangerous for such people to meet, or sometimes even illegal for them to meet. And if they were caught, they might be thrown into prison. But friends, for sure, if they were caught, they would be persecuted. But friends, the faithful ones continue to worship. As far as they are concerned, the assembling of the saints to worship the one true living God must come first. The assembling of the saints to encourage one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works must come first. Their security, their safety, their comfort, all are secondary. But here in Sydney, my dear friends, we do not have any risk at all. We do not have such discomfort, right? We meet in a very, very comfortable situation. We meet in an air-conditioned room. Yes. And what time do we meet? We don't have to miss our meals to meet. We meet. We don't have to meet at 4 a.m. in the morning or 5 a.m. in the morning. But we meet at a very convenient time, 10 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday morning. Yet, on the Lord's Day, we will drag our feet to come to church to worship him. We say we are coming to church to worship him, but we drag our feet. Then when we come, there is hardly any reverence for him. We come late. It is as if we are doing God a great, great favor by coming into his house to worship him. So we tell the Lord, you wait. All right, I'm coming to worship you. We tell the Lord to wait. My dear friends, if you have a meeting with your boss, who waits for whom? You wait for the boss, or the boss waits for you? The answer is obvious, right? But yet we will cause the Lord to wait on the Lord's day. Yes, we have the audacity to do that. How can we say that we are well prepared for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? On the day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, before his judgment seat, he's going to ask us this question: why were you habitually late for worship on the Lord's day? You cannot hide, my dear friends. You cannot fabricate your answer at that time. You have to admit this to the Lord. You have to say, sorry, Lord. Yes, you know, I was always in the habit of sleeping late on Saturday night. Yes, there were many times when I watched a late Saturday night movie, and that's why I was late to come to go to church on a Sunday morning. Yes, or you may have to say this, Lord, I actually didn't like to go to church, so I had to drag my feet to go to church. That's why I was always late for church. How good it will be on the day of reckoning when we stand before the Lord to hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were very, very faithful in coming to worship in my house in the most reverent manner. Your behavior on the Lord's day in your worship is most exemplary, most praiseworthy. How good it is to hear that from the Lord. Then there are others who do not care about the Lord's day. Yes, they don't care about the worship of the Lord. They will choose to work on the Lord's day. Why work on Sunday when you have the choice to work on other days? Why choose to work on the Lord's day? My dear friends, some may want to do that because they think that they will get better remuneration by working on the Sunday than on other days. But friends, let our Lord be first. Understand this truth. We are waiting for his soon return. If you are a true believer, you must be waiting for his soon return. And if you are really waiting for his soon return, you will want to reverence him by giving him the due honor on the Lord's day to come into his house to worship him with holy zeal. Then when we gather, do we have the intention to come to encourage one another in the most holy faith? Do we have that? That is what we must do, my dear friends. When we come to the house of the Lord, of course we want to worship the Lord on the Lord's day. But do we also come with this intention of wanting to encourage one another in the most holy faith? Now in the year 2018, I think it will do us a lot of good if every Lord's day we have this intention in mind. We tell ourselves, today I'm going to church and I'm going to encourage somebody in the Lord. Yes? Make that a resolution. I go to church, I'm going to meet someone, I'm going to encourage that someone in the Lord. Make that resolution, my dear friends. It will do us a lot of good in the service of the Lord and in preparation for his soon return. Now, is it so difficult to go up to someone and say to that someone, because you know that he needs to be prayed for, you know that he's facing some problems, is it so difficult to go up to him and say, I'll pray for you? Yes, I'll pray for you. I give you my word, I'll pray for you. Is it so difficult to say that? Or is it so difficult to invite somebody to come to the church prayer meeting if you are a regular prayer at the prayer meeting to go up to him and say, I pray for you that you come to the church prayer meeting. And if it is convenient for you to do so, to go and pick him up and he doesn't have transport, you might make this offer to him. Yes, I'll come and pick you up, but come and join us at the church prayer meeting. Is it so difficult to say that? My dear friends, let's try to make it a point in the year 2018 to prepare ourselves for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by offering that kind of service to people, to encourage one another in the most holy faith. Next, we prepare for his return by loving one another. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13. All right, good to look at those two verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. Okay, let me read these two verses for you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do unto you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Again, making reference to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was writing to the Christians at Thessalonica, I pray for you that your love will increase, your love will abound. Now, to abound means to overflow to other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and are waiting for the soon return of the Lord, we must show this kind of love one to another. Now, this love that is spoken of is not just brotherly love. Now, brotherly love is a love that is shown to a brother, and sometimes that love will be reciprocated. Now, but this love that is being spoken of is sacrificial love. Now, let me ask you, if you show this kind of love, does it mean that it is going to take something out of you, that you have to really to give something? Yes or no? The answer is yes, of course. That's why it is sacrificial love, you understand? You take something out of yourself to give to some people, and you don't expect anything in return. That is what sacrificial is. Yes? Now, let me give you an example of sacrificial love. Frank Higgins was a lumberjack. While working as a lumberjack, he traveled from one logging camp to another logging camp. And wherever he went, he would bring a bag of Bibles with him, and he would distribute these Bibles. Then in time, there were people who were converted through his ministry. Then one day, he was stricken with cancer. And the cancer was actually caused by the leather strap that was rubbing against his shoulder over many years, and this leather strap was the strap that was attached to his back that was used for carrying his Bibles. So the day came when he had to be hospitalized, and his fellow lumberjacks went to visit him. Then there came the day when he needed to be operated on. And one of the lumberjacks said this to him. He said, "Frank, you know we love you. While the doctor operates on you, just remember, I am at the door. If you need blood or a piece of bone or skin, please ask the doctor to call on me. Don't forget, I am at the door." You see, he was willing to make that kind of sacrifice. He truly loved Frank Higgins. Now, we would say that this kind of love is just too noble, too sacrificial for me to show. Yes, but what about showing this kind of love that I'm going to talk about next? A young couple was very, very distraught when they discovered that the newborn baby was born with this condition called dwarfism. In other words, the child would not grow up to have adult height. All right, and so they were very, very sad. And then there was a Christian lady, yes, from another church, who was very, very sympathetic with this couple because she herself had a handicapped child. And so she babysat this baby with dwarfism. And there were many occasions when she would drive this baby to the clinic to see the doctor that attended to this child with dwarfism. Now, what kind of love do you think that is? My dear friends, that is sacrificial love. All right, let me give you another example of sacrificial love. Again, a lady. There was this lady who had a servant who was afflicted with cancer. Now, what would you do? I mean, if you have a servant who is afflicted with cancer, she just came and worked for you and she has got cancer, what would you do? I think chances are many would send the servant back home to their home, to the servant's home country. But this lady did not do it. She did not do that. She paid for the chemotherapeutic treatment for this servant. Costly treatment, but she was willing to pay for that treatment. But then she could not take leave from her work all the time to bring this servant to see the doctor. So she asked another lady to ferry this servant to be attended to by the doctor for chemotherapy. Now let me ask you this question. If you were this lady who were called upon to bring this servant to see a doctor for chemotherapy, would you do it? Would you or would you not do it? Thankfully, this lady did it. So what do you call this kind of love, my dear friends? It is sacrificial love, the love shown by these three ladies and the love shown by this lumberjack who stood at the door of the hospital ward of Frank Higgins. That is sacrificial love. My dear friends, if we were all to take the trouble to show concern for people in the church, many times, I tell you this, many times we will discover that people in the church, they have got their problems. And sometimes what they need to have is a listening ear, somebody to listen to their problems, somebody who's willing to pray with them and say, "I pray with you." Yes, that's what they need. That's all they need. My dear friends, would you be willing enough, sacrificial enough, to give some time to give ear to these people and to pray with such people? Now, next, we prepare for his soon return by being separate. That is, by living a separated life, by living a holy life. Yes, it is very, very needful that as we prepare for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a holy life. Why? Because the Lord says, I am holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, this holiness must be shown in a practical way. So I'd like us to look at Titus 2:11-14. All right, Titus 2:11-14. Verse 11. Let me read for you. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this behavior that we are to put up is related to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what is this behavior that we are talking about? Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. My dear friends, we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. To live a holy life, that is what we must do in preparation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, we should deny unlawful desires. The desire to have illicit sex. Now, illicit sex will include fornication sex, adulterous sex, homosexual sex. Today, people would regard homosexual sex as something that is normal and natural as being left-handed. But my dear friends, let's understand this truth. Homosexuality is a sin in the sight of the one true living God. And today it is so sad to see that Australia has legislated same-sex marriage. It is legal nowadays, legal in the eyes of the law of the country. But friends, it is illegal in the sight of the one true living God. Let us understand this truth. Unlawful in the sight of the one true living God. Then we should deny ourselves the unlawful desire to get rich through illegal means, and we should deny ourselves to get power by destroying other people so that they will not grow, but we will grow. Some desires, my dear friends, are by themselves really lawful, but friends, even if they are lawful, but if we are consumed by them, these desires no longer are lawful. For example, let me give you an example. Let's say we have the desire to enjoy our hobby. Now, most hobbies are really very good hobbies, nothing wrong with that. It is very, the hobbies are very recreational. So nothing wrong with having these hobbies. For example, I might have the hobby of wanting to build a boat. Nothing wrong with building a boat. But if I were to spend an inordinate amount of time, energy, strength to build a boat at the expense of doing my quiet time, at the expense of fellowshipping with other Christians, at the expense of reading my Bible, at the expense of studying my Bible, at the expense of attending the church prayer meeting, at the expense even of going to the worship service, then, my dear friends, that desire is unlawful. Yes, we must deny ourselves that unlawful desire. Now, earthly things such as money, the legitimate investments, houses and cars are harmless in themselves. And many of these things are actually quite essential for our living on this earth. Now, what is wrong is really setting our affections on these things to the extent that these things that we set our affections on are controlling our lives. Now, I have this friend who is a very good, shrewd investor, all right? Yes, but he professes to be a believer. In the year 2008, when my wife went back to Singapore, we had dinner with him. And at the dinner, this friend or brother in the Lord was really very, very distracted. His attention was not focused on the conversation that we were having. Yes, because the year 2008 was the year when the GFC took place, the global financial crisis. It took place in the year 2008. Yes, all the shares and the stocks and shares plummeted. Yes, and many, many people were burnt. Many, many people were hurt by the loss in the values of the shares. This friend of mine said that he was nearly sunk because of the losses that he made. And so he was very, very distracted. He couldn't focus on our conversation. So we parted, and then a few years later, in the year 2011, yes, 2011, again my wife met with him. And this time he was very cheerful. You know why? The economy had come back. So his shares had grown in value, and so he was very happy, and so we got talking. He was as usual, as normal as he was previously. Then came 2013, 2014. You remember the European crisis? Yes. The European Union was quite dangerous for the European Union, because the Union actually could have broken up because there were a few European countries that got themselves into real financial trouble. They were in debt, and if they were in terrible financial trouble, then the European Union might just break up, right? So that event actually caused great economic problems to the world at that time. Now, what about this friend of mine? Did he lose money? Of course, his shares dropped in value. And then when we met with him again, same old person, very, very distracted. He couldn't focus on the conversation. My dear friends, what had he set his affections on? On things above or on his stocks and shares? He was focusing his attention on his stocks and shares and not on things above. That is why he was behaving in that manner. Do you think he was well prepared for the soon return of the Lord? My dear friends, I don't think he was. Right? Now the Word of God tells us how we should be prepared for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must be setting our affections on things above. Remember those the four familiar verses that we committed to memory a few years ago when we had this theme, seek those things which are above. Remember that? Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 4. I think it's good for us to read these four verses. Okay? Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 4. Let me read these verses to you. Verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, making reference to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is how we ought to behave. We ought to set our affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Yes, we should deny ourselves these unlawful desires. Then Titus 2:12. All right, Titus 2:12. Let's go back to the verse that we read earlier on, Titus 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We are to deny unlawful desires, and then here we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In preparation for his soon return, we must live soberly. What it means, my dear friends, we must be temperate in all things, moderate in all things. Yes, if we eat, eat moderately. Then we have to exercise. Make sure that we exercise. We must take good care of this body of ours, have the discipline to exercise so that we can make use of this body of ours to serve the Lord effectively in preparation for his soon return. Now, how can we serve the Lord if we abuse our body and does not exercise any kind of moderation at all? Even some good things, my dear friends, we have can cause us to have problems. I know of this minister. He is, of course, very zealous in serving the Lord. He wants to serve the Lord very, very earnestly. And he wants to keep himself awake all the time. So what does he do? Patrick, you want to guess? He drinks coffee, all right? And he drinks an inordinate amount of coffee. Yes, and cups after cups. And one day he had to be rushed to hospital. You know why? Because he was having heart palpitation. All right, so he had to rush to hospital to be attended to. My dear friends, he was not drinking coffee in moderation. Good to drink coffee, but make sure we do it in moderation. So if we want to take care of our bodies so that we will be well prepared to serve the Lord in preparation for his soon return, let us be sure that we exercise moderation. And with regards to relating with others, what must we do, friends? The Word of God says we are to live righteously. That's how we relate with other people. Live righteously. Yes, let us deal with others fairly and equitably. Make sure that we do not squeeze people so hard. When we are dealing with people, we are doing business with them. Let us understand that these people need to make a profit. They need to live. Don't squeeze them so hard that we come across as being hustlers to them. My dear friends, we believers are not to be hustlers. We are to deal with people righteously. And then if we are working for people, let us be sure that we give a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. All right, make sure we do that. Yes, because we are to work not to serve man, not to please man, but to serve the one true living God. I still remember the years when I was working for this company. There was this big office. There was a big open office. There were many employees on the floor, and in the office there was a huge clock. Everybody could see the clock. All right, knock off time was 4:30, and then knock off time was signaled by a hooter. So the hooter would go off, and the hooting sound will last for something like 30 seconds or so. You guess what? Before the 30 seconds are up, the whole office is virtually empty. And then, you know, from where I sat, I could look at the door through which employees would get out. Invariably, you see the same people arriving at the door first. It's the same old people. My dear friends, how could people be so alert as to be to leave the office, even leave the office completely, even before the hooter sound ended? How could they be so attentive? How could they be so alert? My guess is this. Before the hooter went off, they'll be looking at the clock, watching when it's 4:30. All right, so which means that before 4:30, mentally, they were already shut down, not working anymore. So were they giving the employer a fair day's work for a fair day's pay? No, my dear friends. Now, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are different. While we have our earthly boss, let us remember that we have a higher boss, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us not be noted as being clock workers, but let us deal righteously with people, with our employer, with people that we do business with. Let us deal fairly. As we want others to give us a fair deal, let us make sure that we give others a fair deal also. Then with regards to our relation with our God, in preparation for his soon return, the Word of God says here, we should live soberly, and we should be godly. We should live in a godly manner in this present world. What it means, my dear friends, is we have to glorify God by the way we live. And the Word of God sums it up for us. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. And that is what we must be doing. Do all for the glory of God. And finally, let us prepare for his soon return by being evangelistic. Be ready to share the gospel with people. All right. Now, this is a very important verse for us to refer to. Yes, very encouraging verse for us to refer to. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. All right. Daniel was talking about also the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel 12, 3, Old Testament. Daniel 12:3. Let me read that verse for you. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Our Lord expects us to be evangelistic. Our Lord wants to reward us. He wants us to place as stars in the heavenlies. That's what He wants to do for us. He wants to reward us. Our Lord therefore expects us to be good witnesses for Him, to prepare for His soon return. He expects us to play a part in the Great Commission. He expects us to be witnesses for Him in our hometown and in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even unto the other parts of the earth. My dear friends, on the day of reckoning, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I trust that we will have something to show to the Lord. Yes, I trust, my dear friends, that on the day of reckoning, we will be able to see, say like the Apostle Paul, who was at that time writing to the Christians at Thessalonica. He said this to them. He said, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of glory? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. Are not you our crown of rejoicing?" Talking about the Christians in the city of Thessalonica who came under the ministry of the Apostle Paul and were converted through his ministry. On that day, on the judgment seat, before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul says here, "You would be my crown of rejoicing." My dear friends, would there be Christians standing before the Lord on the day of judgment who would be our crown of rejoicing? My dear friends, if we want to shine as stars in the sky for the Lord Jesus Christ, let us be wise. Let us win many to righteousness. The day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, will soon come upon us. The dead in Christ will be resurrected, and then those who are alive at that time who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Yes, they will be following those who are resurrected from the grave. My dear friends, would you be among the saints that will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air? Now, if you are an unbeliever, you will not be caught up. If you are an unbeliever and you have died, you remain in the grave until the second resurrection. And then when you are resurrected at the second resurrection, you will be appearing before the great white throne of God, where you will be judged, found guilty, and then cast into the lake of fire. But friends, why do we want to be categorized with these people? My dear friends, come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you will be caught up to be with Him. If you are alive at that time, if you are already dead, you'll be raised up from the grave to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Why don't you prepare yourself to meet Him in the air when He comes? You can, my dear friends, today by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you repent from your sins and have His precious blood cleanse you of all sins. Now He wants us to prepare for His coming by being worshipful. Yes, let us be worshipful. Every Lord's Day, let us come well prepared to worship Him. Then He wants us to be well prepared for His coming by showing love for other people. Remember the three ladies I talked about and this man called Frank Higgins, and the lumberjack who went to visit Frank Higgins. Let us, my dear friends, be ready to show love of this kind. And then to prepare for His soon return, let us be sure that we are living holy lives. Let us live soberly. Let us live live soberly. Let us be righteous in our dealings, and let us be godly in our living, doing everything to please God, to bring honor and glory to Him. Then let us be wise, my dear friends, in preparation for His soon return, by being the soul winners that He wants us to be. Let us be evangelistic, so that when He comes again, He's going to reward us. And hopefully, by the grace of God, we will become the stars that He wants us to be in the sky. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, we know that Your coming is soon. help us that we may not say that your coming cannot be in the year 2018. For you have said to us that in the hour that we think that the Son of Man will not come, he will come. O Lord, we pray that we may be well prepared for that day, so that when he comes, Lord, we may be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, you know the hearts of the congregation members. You know there are those in our midst who have not known you as Lord and Savior yet. O Lord, we pray that you will speak to them. Cause them, Lord, to come to believe in you. Cause them to turn to you and to repent from your sins, so that when you come again, they may have this blessing of being caught up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. So, Lord, we pray that your people, as we look forward to the year 2018, may also be very conscious of the fact that it may be the year the Lord Jesus Christ will return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.